Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that. I can't take it.
Family and guests, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Ashley Goodman, and this is the BYGP Locker Room Show. Tonight, we're supposed to be speaking with Michael Clayton. I think he is actually in the process. I'm just getting word that I don't believe he is going to be making it tonight, which we will get him back on because he would be a great guest, and he also has written a book called Chasing My Rookie Year, which is so inspirational. Oh, hold on. Let me see. Michael, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. We actually thought you weren't going to make it. So you know what? This is ideal. This is perfect. I was just talking about your book and all of that, and I wanted to speak with you because I know you have a lot to say, and you had eight seasons of in the NFL and had outstanding high school years and college years. So we wanted to get your input and help our audience with our young football players and their families and coaches. And so, yeah, we wanted to just get your mindset on some things. So, where did you grow up and where did football begin for you?
Well, football began for me when I was about 7 years old, playing organized football. It was
mm-hmm.
something that we always did growing up in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm originally from Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but my parents were from Mississippi. So, as a country boy, and all my cousins, we would play football from sun up to sundown. That's all we did. But I started playing organized football at 7 years old with the South Baton Rouge Rams. You know, right there in the heart of Baton Rouge, it was an inner city team. They were known for being undefeated. Had a few great moments that kind of brought some toughness out of me when I was a young kid, and it kind of changed the life of me. Really, it shaped the way that I played football for the rest of my life, playing with those rough kids, those rough inner-city kids, and that's where it started for me, and I saw a lot of those kids fall by the wayside as well because
absolutely,
they didn't have
yeah.
what I had, parents in the home and all that good stuff now. So that's why kids are part of my foundation. Want to help that.
Absolutely. So then, how do you feel athletics helped you off the field as a young kid?
Well, it taught me discipline.
Uh-huh.
It taught me teamwork. It taught me leadership. People rely on you as a team. They rely on you to be there on time. Taught me
mm-hmm.
punctuality. It kind of really shaped my life, for after football, because those were the things that I was interested in being competitive, and being, at the top of the top in AAU basketball when I was 13 and 14, wanting to go to nationals, wanting to come down here in Orlando and play in Disney World for a championship. winning a YBOA national championship. You know, you wanted to experience those things as a competitor, and in life, you know, now you want to do the same thing. You know, you want to experience life as a whole and be a competitor in life and challenge and battle with life after football and sports has really shaped, you know, the way that I approach that and attack in my everyday life now with life after football.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything that you just said right there, that it shapes, you know, your discipline, your work ethic, and that does carry, you know, throughout off the field and you know, in your life after football. So that is definitely very important to always remember, guys out there, is that work ethic goes beyond the field. So Michael, tell us about, I mean, in high school, you were very highly, highly, highly recruited. You were wanted pretty much everywhere your senior year. How did you handle, you know, that status? Did that change how you acted? Did it put more pressure on you on the field, off the field? Tell us about that.
Well, I think it was kind of different for me because of how I was raised. You know, black college football, HBCUs were all that I knew. I didn't know about big-time college football, you know, until my, you know, late in my junior year and my senior year, and I didn't really know the impact of it. I didn't know the history of it because I was raised, you know, at Alcorn State University, you know, on the sideline with Steve McNair. You know, that's all I really knew. So I wasn't able to get too caught up in the hoopla of the big schools recruiting me. It was more so like the letters that we were getting. You know, it wasn't about who was recruiting you. It was about how many letters you were getting.
Exactly. It was just a number to you.
Right. That was the most exciting thing. I can get 200 letters from a lower Division II name school and be more prideful than a Duke sending me one letter, you know.
I guess that number to you was definitely key for you. So, well, I mean, you did end up, you know, becoming very successful in college. So I guess that, you know, I guess you made the right choice. But through that recruiting process, did you feel, you and your family, did you feel you had a good grasp on that, or did you feel overwhelmed at that process?
No, I never felt overwhelmed because I was always able to make it about just football.
Okay.
You know, I chose to go to the school that I wanted to. You know, my parents helped out with, you know, talking to coaches and doing what they were supposed to do. But ultimately, it was my choice where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to state, you know. And then, you know, I took a visit there. I wanted to go to Miami, you know. I took a visit there. And, you know, after taking my visit at LSU, I was able to make a decision that I wanted to go to LSU. And once we went through that process, you know, just the humbleness, the not knowing that me being ignorant about how big college football was, I was able to just play the game of football.
Not get
caught in it at all and just play the game of football and was able to just have some success just based upon being tough, you know, being willing to play special teams, you know, being willing to play defense, being willing to just show toughness on the football field got me opportunities, and I was able to capitalize early in my freshman year in college.
Yeah, and that's very key, that you were so, you know, dynamic. It did probably help that – like you said, you didn't know how big college football was, you know, when you were going through that. Do you think it, you know, today for young athletes and young, you know, young kids that are wanting to get to that next level of college, do you think there's too much, you know, with the media and with, you know, the scout.com and everything of the reports, do you think it's too much? Or do you think, you know, it's just the times that football are changing, and it's only, you know, going to accumulate as the years?
You know, I think that, you know, we do get too caught up in those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the way that the evolution of how we broadcast our players. You know,
yeah.
High school kids going to college is now like the NBA and NFL draft. You know, it's just that big in that arena now where kids
mm-hmm.
are just, you know, you have high school kids going in straight into the NBA. So it's unique now that how talent has risen, yes. Do I also think that a gifted player can go out and have success and not even be involved in any football camps or any you know, all-star games? They don't have to do anything, and they'll still go on to sign a major college scholarship based upon what they've produced within the scope of their season at their school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We get so involved in that, yes, because we're, you know, we want to be number one. You know, we
yeah.
want to be proven. But, you know, at the ultimate level, coaches watch your game film, and whatever you do on the game film is the only thing that they're looking at. And that's the only thing that they're evaluating you upon. Not how many routes you run at a football camp, you know, and not based upon that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So then, I mean, but when you were in high school, you were actually playing in the first ever U.S. Army All-American Bowl on December 30th, 2000. So you were playing, I mean, now this bowl is recognized, you know, it's the biggest, one of the biggest bowls that we have today for football, and you played in the first ever. How was that experience for you?
Well, it was wonderful. You know, it was I had always been a part of playing, like, in national tournaments in basketball when
mm-hmm.
I was young. So being able to play in this, we didn't know the impact or what it would be back then. You know, it was just
yeah.
the excitement that it was the first national high school All-American game. And
mm-hmm.
They kind of compared it to the McDonald's All-American game in basketball. So the guys who – what made it so interesting then is the guys who went on to sign with big-time universities, who went on, you know, to get drafted. So some of the guys got drafted, you know, played, had big time. So that is what made it really so special, to see some of the careers of some of the guys. But being able to challenge yourselves on that level, you know, new
yeah.
talent, guys that you haven't been practicing against, being able to kind of go out like a combine setting and perform against talent like on game day. So it's kind of like on game day every practice, because it's new talent. You don't know how he's going to cover you. You know, you have to really compete, and it brings out the best for you. You know, going through that experience helped me mature when I got to college. You know, because it was
yeah,
kind of the
absolutely.
Same thing. You know, it was kind of the same thing. So it was a great experience. Do I say you have to do it? No, you don't have to do it. But, you know, if you do it, you know, you get recognized, and that's good for your soul as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of your teammates, you
yeah.
had Andrew Whitworth, you had Marcus Spears, you had Ben Wilkerson. So, I mean, you had teammates that, like you said, you don't normally play with these guys, but in this setting, you get to have the opportunity to play together and you know, to learn from each other and whatnot. So, yeah, that is a great experience, and you know, it's an honor to play in the first ever.
Without a doubt, I've been able to work some FBU football camps.
Oh, really?
With the game now. And, yeah, I actually went out to Sacramento a couple of years ago and
okay.
spent about 4 or 5 days with the guys and speaking to the kids. It's
uh-huh.
just something great that I like to be a part of and, you know, see some of the high talent and give me a chance to coach the guys. So, you know, shout out to what those guys – Rich McGinnis and what they've done to that program to make it kind of like that caliber, man. A lot of guys feel special when they get invited to, you know, FBU football camp and a D1 camp, and it's a great experience for the coaches as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure you have, you know, a lot of fun with the guys and you know, teaching them, and I'm sure they enjoy you being around and being able to give them pointers. So that is great that you know. Yeah, and it's great that you take. What was that?
I think the worst thing about it is I give the guys my cell phone number. So, they always feel guilty answering the phone for one guy and not the other. You know, they got to answer the phone for somebody all day. I have a life. I have a wife and kids, you know.
Yeah, hopefully they won't blow your phone up too much.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Give us some tips about the recruiting process for a young man and some things to look at when they're going on their recruiting trips, you know, some things to look out for, some questions that you think are key to ask and you know, that whole process of just taking that recruiting trip.
You know, everybody is different. You know, every kid comes from a different area. I think that they have to evaluate first within themselves what they can stand. Some kids are homesick. Some kids don't want to leave home from mama. Some kids don't care. You know, all of that comes into a place because, first and foremost, you have to be comfortable. If you're if you're a type of kid that likes to be around family, it's going to be a smart decision for you to stay close where your family can come to your games, you know, and travel with you. So all of those, as long as you're comfortable on the field, so all of those things do play into a factor of when you're making a decision into going into college. That's the first and foremost thing that I would look at. The second thing is, are you going to get the opportunity to play? And when you, what's your best chances to get the opportunity to play as early as possible? You know, that plays a factor. If you care about that, then that's a big-time decision maker. If you don't care about that, if you want to go to a big-time program and wait a couple of years until you play, or you believe in your talents enough that you can go in and start as a freshman, then, hey, you know, you make that decision a priority on your list. I think that that's important, you know. And secondly, I think you have to look at the head coach, his history. If you think that he's going to be there for a long time, you know, a lot of coaches, a lot of players get stuck with, you know, going to a school at the end of a coach's stint. You know, I definitely think that you can't really tell. Every coach is probably going to, you know, ask you that, but maybe, I mean, I'm going to tell you that they're going to be there for the program, but maybe that's a good question to ask that head coach when he's coming sitting in your living room or meet you and has the opportunity to talk to you. Like, hey, coach, how long do you think that you'll be at the university? Because some of those things are life-changing to a lot of athletes. I've seen a lot of athletes get, you know, pushed to the side at times because the coach brings in his players. And, you know, it happens, not necessarily happens, but it's kind of like you want to revive the program if you haven't had success. So I think that that's a valuable question that you can ask to a head coach. How long do they think that they're staying? You know, Nick Saban was honest with me when he told me that he didn't really know how long he was going to stay at LSU. So he advised me to go on to forego my senior year. But he helped me to make a decision to forego my senior year, just based on being honest. So coaches, great coaches will be honest with you, you know, to kind of give you a heads up to let you make that good decision. And once you make your decision, then stick with it the best you can and just fight through, man. And it's just like, you know, it's just like high school. If the guys have success in high school, they can do it in college as well.
Yeah, and you made some great points there that, you know, like for some athletes, was this in your case because you did stay local, you did stay close to home? Was that one of the factors that you did pick LSU, was to stay close to family?
No, it really wasn't. You know, growing up in my community, you know, it was, you know, like I said, HBCU, so Southern University was the HBCU. So my community really didn't, and I say my community, I'm talking about the African-American community, didn't really take to LSU because a lot of their black athletes did not have success that they wanted. They didn't recruit the inner-city kids to come to LSU and things like that. So I wanted to go to Florida State behind Ward Gunn. Ward Gunn was from our same community. I wanted to go to Florida State. It was Coach Saban who came in and convinced me that things were going to change, that the best player was going to play, and that, you know, we would have opportunities to win national championships. And it made me feel special. I'll never forget, you know, he said, you know, make a think about, you know, the people of Louisiana, they'll never forget. You know, make a 40-year decision and not a 4-year decision. You know, is what he told me. Somewhere being at home, if you win a national championship, the first one in Louisiana, you know, history, you know, they'll never forget. And now I'm part of that legacy and building that up and to be a part of that. So having a great coach that can be honest is definitely a big part of it. It made my experience in college just one of the things that changed my life. You know, they gave me the tools that I needed to survive in the NFL for 8 years because I had a great head coach. So in college, so I contributed a lot of my success to Coach Saban because he gave me the tools that I needed to survive in the NFL. You know.
Yeah, absolutely, and yeah, and that is key for you to have a coach that is going to be upfront with you and really just tell you straight up that he may not be there, you know, for your entire career or what's going to happen. So I think that's great that you did have a positive experience at LSU. Did you feel that while you were at LSU that you had used your platform as an athlete enough with the boosters and alum to help you once football was over, to help you off the field, and did you think about that while you were, you know, in college?
Without a doubt, you know, that was one of the things that I researched, the local jobs in the area, you know, who the businessmen in Baton Rouge who were, you know, had success and went to LSU and went on to have success. So learning about their businesses, you know, taking business classes, you know, all of those things. You know, once I got drafted, I became owner of a bank in Baton Rouge with Buddy Romer. You know, these guys really did a great job of just, you know, allowing us to take tours of their business atmosphere, you know, making themselves available to talk about the inner works of their businesses. You know, it just had you excited, you know, having the opportunity to do that at a young age. You know, I was able to be engaged in that, and that was one of my main missions, you know, because like I said, I didn't quite know the impact of major college football. You know, I think a lot of these kids are at a disadvantage because they know what's at stake now. or maybe that's a big issue. When you can just play the game of football, it is so easier than worrying about the pressures of football. I was fortunate enough to be around smaller football and just being able to play the game of football.
Well, and it's, you know, I commend you for taking that opportunity and seeing that, you know, whether or not you knew how big college football and what, you know, may lie within your football career, but you did take the opportunity to meet with boosters and to meet and to try to learn that aspect off the field. So I think that's fantastic that you took the time and was serious about that.
Absolutely. We're starting a program at LSU that has united the former players to mentor the guys to help them make better decisions, to be able to not being scared to saying hello and asking the right questions. Can I learn about your business? Because we do have that opportunity as LSU, you know, and when you put on the shield as a Tiger, you have that advantage. That's one advantage, you know, that the NCAA can't take away. They can't take that away. You can learn about people's businesses, but you have to be willing to do that. They want to open the door. They want to teach you, but you have to be willing.
Yeah, absolutely. So then tell us, I mean, you did have, like I said, you had a successful college career. You were drafted in the first round. You were picked number 15 by Tampa Bay. You know, you had an outstanding rookie season what, and then with that outstanding rookie season, you had an injury the next season. Tell us about mentally, you know, how did that affect you in that season, because it wasn't, you know, probably not up to par with your standards. Tell us about that. And for those athletes out there who may be suffering for, you know, whatever reason, injuries, or they're just not seeing playing time just due to coaching.
Yeah, well, it was a few things, you know. When I had up to my rookie season, my life had just been so great. You know, we had success in college. You know, went to SEC championships, the national championship, and then, you know, like you said, being drafted. Everything was just so good up to the rookie year, and then I had a surgery for the first time in my career. You know, and I rehabbed the best that I could, but I had never experienced that type of pain. And I missed all the off season. I had never been hurt and missed, like, practice. I had always been a guy who was there and had to miss out. And, you know, it just mentally it kind of bothered me because it was my first time being away. I had, you know, caught a pass in every game that I had ever played in college and was doing that in the pros as well. You know, and then my second year comes along, I have to battle through this injury. And then I was the first receiver my rookie year. Joey Galloway got hurt the first play of the game at my first year. So I became the number two, became the number one guy. My second year, Joey Galloway comes back. I'm actually the number two guy, along with different quarterback changes and other injuries. You know, I didn't have as many opportunities as I did my rookie year, and that was my first time ever really experiencing, you know, failure in football. You know, we've lost some games, you know, maybe lost some games, but you play hard, you play good, but just actually in terms of production, you know, throughout the whole season, it was my first time experiencing failure, and, you know, I took some bumps on the chin, you know. I tried to find, you know, success and keep myself happy. I made some bad decisions. You know, I started partying a little bit, wanted to drink a little bit, wanted to, you know, I made those mistakes in trying to find my joy and pain. And football never really kind of bounced back for me. And I had to travel down some, I wouldn't say necessarily dark roads, but I had to experience life a little bit before I woke up. To be able to handle success, to be able to handle failure, to be able to humble myself, and then I was able to go on and have a great career, I believe. After that, played with the New York Giants, won a Super Bowl, and just based on what I was able to learn throughout my career and the downfalls that I had.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and like you said, it took that injury and to kind of reshape your strengths and everything of that nature. You did, and like you said, you did go out and party and whatnot. But, you know, with everything going on these days with, you know, lawsuits and with legal actions and suspensions, how did you manage, and what was it for you that you said, I need to stay focused on football, I need to stay focused on making the right choices on and off the field? What was that, you know, what was that to you that you then made that transition?
You know, I can honestly say that, you know, I didn't really ever have to change anything, even though, you know, we hung out a little bit. I think I always kept great company.
Okay.
You know, I always kept people around me who were inspiring to achieve the same things that I wanted to achieve. And I think that brought a safe crowd, that brought a crowd that wanted to be successful, very positive energy. So I never really got caught up in the hoopla doing something ignorant. Now, was I in college? You know, did I hang out with the guys? Did I party a little bit? Yeah, I experienced it, but I think that I was able to just keep a people who were caring people, who looked after each other, you know, who didn't let somebody, you know, get drunk and, you know, embarrass themselves, who was always, you know, protective and respectful of others. You know, I kept that kind of people around me. It made me that type of person, and I think that it just, it protected me throughout a lot of situations in my life, and it was just a big part of my success and just being able to enjoy life in a good way and as well as football.
Absolutely. That's a great answer. So I do want to end this with talking about your book, because I've looked at it. I think it looks fantastic. I'm going to have to, you know, read it now, because I started reading it, but now I got to finish it. But, you know, it spoke to me just because I was reading something. ESPN analyst Bill Curry was actually praising the book and you as a person and as a player. He was a former collegiate head coach, and, you know, he was saying so many great things about this book. But Chasing My Rookie Year, tell us about that. Has it always been a goal of yours to have a book, or did it kind of just become an opportunity for you at some point? Tell us about that.
Well, I've always been a guy who wrote in journals, you know, I always kept a journal, and always wanted to just write a little bit, and always enjoyed the memories of looking back. And when I would have success, I always thought, I had a thought that I wanted to write a book, but it was just based on, you know, the glory moments of my life. And then I never really, and after my rookie year, I kind of went through this moment of hell, you know, the six years of my career, just hell. And, you know, writing the book, all of that stuff was thrown out of the memory. And once I kind of matured in my life, I matured spiritually. You know, I got in touch, you know, with what God wanted for me and wanted to do through me. And it just, you know, pretty much changed my life, you know. And everything that I wanted to do came back into fruition once I was able to go on those journeys, go through the hardships, learn character through moments of, you know, embarrassing moments, you know, moments where I had to totally humble myself and didn't want to, you know, all of the tough moments that made me who I am today, you know, made me a person my kids can smile at. And all of those great moments, man, I just wanted to put it in a memory. I wrote a book about it to help youth and young adults to talk about my life and some stories about my life, an encouragement for athletes to make right decisions. I kind of talk about my wrongs and how I had to make the better decisions when I was in high school and how that led me into making better decisions when I'm mature. So I talk about those things in the book, and, you know, kind of give you a little bit of everything. I'm excited about making it a movie, too. So it's been a great journey.
Wow.
You know, God spoke to me and said, hey, it's time for you to write a book after I was, you know, done playing. Now it's time. Well, and I knew exactly that it was time. I had the testimony. I had the hardships. I had everything. So we put it in the book. I self-published, and that's, you know, now I do a lot of speaking engagements and book signings. And promoting the book, trying to get young kids to read it.
Well, Michael, I'm going to have to ask, who's going to play you in the movie?
We're still negotiating. We're just around the corner of doing casting for it. We haven't opened the doors on that yet. You know, we have to get budgeting. Budgeting comes first.
I got you. Well, you're going to have to keep me posted, because I want to know who's playing you.
Well, I forget his name, but I love the guy from Antoine Fisher. He plays the head character in Antoine Fisher with Denzel Washington.
That'd be a good one.
He makes I'm not really big in you know, actors. I don't know their names, you know, I know their faces. So,
You'll just point to them.
It's crazy that I'm trying to do a movie and get them to play, and I don't even know who they are. But I love the movies.
Well,
I watch the movies all the time. I know their name in the movie.
Yeah, you asked for official. You know.
Like,
I'm
nah,
sure.
Man.
I'm sure they'll catch on if you just say that. I'm sure they'll know who you're meaning.
Oh, right.
Well then.
Right.
I'm gonna end it with this last question, Michael. I know you have a son, and is he involved with football?
Not really. He's not
okay.
too athletic right now. You know.
Okay. Well, I mean,
he's just like his dad. He's just like his daddy, should I say?
Oh, is he? Well, I know you have. How many kids do you have? Do you have like three or four?
Three kids.
Okay, so as a parent, and you're giving, you know, advice to parents out there who are listening, what would be your advice of you know, making sure that you're kind of having your son dream, but also being in the realm of reality. So having that balance of dreaming and also setting your goals realistically, what would you advise on parents how to deal with that?
Well, you know, I think that because God has blessed me
mm-hmm.
with the opportunity to provide my kids with an education, then I don't have to push sports as much. You know, I can kind of just follow what they want to do and make
mm-hmm.
sure that they're well educated in the process, and more so push about what their interests are. You know, I played sports because there was really nothing else to do, you
yeah.
know. And it was like, you know, you went out there, you were kind of forced to play sports, so you had to get good at it. And, you know, though we were smart kids, grew up to have a lot of common sense, you know, I wouldn't say we weren't bright. You know, I was a dean student in college because of effort, not because I was just a smart guy, just
yeah.
because of effort and the work. So a lot of those things, you know, take place in success. And, you know, I'm very, very thankful for, you know, to being able to have, you know, kids that want to explore other things. You know, so I don't push them. You know, when they get involved, I just had an epiphany that I was going to be a little league football coach to get my son more involved in sports, or to see
really?
If I can draw some interest in it with me being out there and being the coach. But he's just not interested in that yet. You know,
yeah.
So are you not going to do it?
Are you not going to coach then?
Am I not going to what?
Are you not going to coach then, this year at least?
Oh, well, it was just a thought. So I don't even
I don't even know.
I actually went down to my church's Dream Center. We have a Dream Center in the inner city that has a basketball gym and has fields, and they're trying to build up their inner city program. So I actually went in today to see what kind of facility was available to actually start something like
okay.
that. So it's all in motion, you know.
Well, I like that. Well, you know what, Michael, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I definitely appreciate you taking the time to speak with me and our audience, and it was great information. I love the book, and I will definitely finish reading that as soon as I possibly can. But definitely, guys, you should check this book out. It is out for sale. Is it? Tell us where to get it. Can you get it in bookstores, like at Borders or anything?
Well,
or
you can go to Amazon.com.
Okay.
Just order it off
okay.
of Amazon.com, and you can have it ordered through Kindle, you know, all of those things. But Amazon.com
okay.
is the place.
And that book is Chasing My Rookie Year by Michael Clayton. So thank you, Michael. We enjoyed you very much, and we will be speaking with you very, very soon.
Absolutely. They also can buy a copy, a personal copy, a signed copy at MichaelRClayton.com. So for those copies, you can get them at MichaelRClayton.com for just a copy of the Amazon. Maybe I'm here in your city. I'll be doing a football camp. You can just buy the book, and I'll sign it for you at Amazon.com. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Very cool. Very cool. And we will talk to you soon, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. So, guys, we hope you got a lot out of listening to Michael. He has some great input on helping you guys with your journey in life and with football. We have some great things going on with BYGP right now, so definitely check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. And also, if you have not checked out our own book, Before You Go Pro, you definitely need to do that as well. On Tuesday, tune in at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. We will be speaking with Dr. Anthony Contos, who actually was my undergrad sports psychologist professor. And his, you know, main focus was on concussions. He's currently at University of Pitt Medical Center and doing amazing work with research on concussions and youth. So we definitely will be discussing that on Tuesday. Guys, you won't want to miss this. This information is key for your success and for your future, so definitely don't miss out on that. This is Ashley Goodman signing off with BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. Have a good night, guys.